Have you tried Wheaties? Wheaties, that famous breakfast of champions, presents the Mystery Man. Say, how are you fixed for good meal planning ideas today? Sure, it's Monday, I know. You've got a refrigerator full of leftovers. You don't feel much like cooking after turning out that big dinner yesterday. But listen, isn't there some dish you can prepare in a hurry that'll brighten up the dinner table tonight and give appetites a real lift? You bet your life there is. Betty Crocker Soup. Ah, that's the ticket. A real home-cooked, fresh-cooked vegetable noodle soup, brimming with the flavors of garden vegetables, the goodness of rich egg noodles, the zestful taste of herbs and spices. And best of all, here's a soup you can turn out in almost no time, right in your own kitchen. Because Betty Crocker and her staff give you your dry soup ingredients 99% ready to cook. Just get a 10-cent package of Betty Crocker vegetable noodle soup ingredients from your grocer now. The vegetables, noodles, seasonings are all in the package. Simply empty the ingredients into boiling water, add butter, then simmer for 6 full servings of delicious home-cooked soup that'll give the family a good appetite and want them begging for more. Remember, that's Betty Crocker soup you want to ask for.
And now, all's ready for the Mystery Man, who believes that the greatest mystery in life is human nature itself. Let's go into his study. The door is open. The book-lined room is quiet. As the Mystery Man brings you a thrilling mystery of the big circus, titled Red Roses and White Roses.
Well, friends, do you think it likely that something highly exciting and unusual, wholly outside the ordinary round, may happen to you today? Well, don't be too sure that it won't. Or one can be walking along, as the saying goes, minding one's own business, and suddenly out of the blue, well, you'll see. Iris and Peter DeLuth had certainly not expected cryptic warnings, shots in the dark, and a secret deadly menace to figure in the celebration of their first wedding anniversary at a fashionable nightclub. And yet, within the last half hour, an eccentric red-whiskered man, known to her only as Sleepy, has told Iris, unless they are stopped, you will be murdered tonight. The red rose and the white rose mean death. A man in a gray trench coat has shot at Iris and flung a bouquet of red roses, evidently mistaking her, as had the other stranger, for her cousin, Eulalia Crawford, who could easily pass for her double. A moment ago, Peter and Iris arrived at Eulalia's penthouse to warn her of the danger threatening her and ask her to explain the strange events of the evening. Finding the door open, they have entered the silent studio. And now, behind the screen at the far end of the room, they see a woman slump forward over a desk.
Peter, it's a woman. A woman in a yellow dress.
Good heavens.
It's Eulalia, Peter. It's Eulalia. And look, between her shoulder blades, it's a knife. A knife sticking there. Oh, Peter, she's been stabbed in the back, murdered.
Eulalia.
Don't touch her.
She is dead. Too late.
Oh, Sleepy said she'd be murdered tonight. It sounded mad, impossible, but it happened.
The red rose and the white rose mean death. That crazy woman.
Oh, look, Peter. Look there on the floor. Down on the floor beyond the desk.
Roses.
Yes, roses. Dozens of roses. Eulalia's dead and there are roses everywhere. The man in the gray trench coat hit two roses at me. Red roses.
And these are white. Pure white roses.
The red rose and the white rose. Oh, Peter, I knew we ought to come here, but I kept hoping it would turn out so differently, so different. I never thought of this.
Now, steady.
Eulalia's murdered in the white roses. And the perfume of them is so strong. It's stifling. Oh, Peter,
darling, you've got to control yourself.
What are we going to do?
Call the police, of course.
Do you think we ought to?
The telephone. Where? Oh, here it is. Right here on the desk.
Right by your hand.
Hello? Hello? Hello, hello.
Is he here, aren't you?
No. Seems to be dead. Well, no wonder.
Why, Peter?
Look, down there. The wire's been cut.
But, Peter.
Hey, we've got to try to figure this thing out. Speaking this to you from Eulalia and warned you that there was danger. Then the man in the great trench coat followed us here, shot at you, and threw the red roses. Now he must be the one.
No, Peter. He can't have killed Eulalia. Don't you see? He shot at me because he thought I was Eulalia. If he'd already killed her, he'd have known I wasn't. Besides, he's been following us all evening. He's never had the time. And then Eulalia was alive when I called, when the man with the stammer...
The man with the stammer?
Yes.
When you called up Eulalia and talked to him over the phone, he told you to come here, didn't he?
Of course, but...
And when we got here, the door was unlocked.
What do you mean?
Well, that must be it. The man with the stammer must have murdered Eulalia. He must have done it just before you telephoned, and your call gave him an idea.
Peter.
He wanted someone else on the scene of the crime. So he told you to come over. He urged you. He cut the telephone wire, and then he left the door unlocked, so we'd be bound to break in and...
And discover the body.
Special reason for wanting it discovered quickly.
Then if that's true, if the man with the stammer killed her, then there must be two of them. The man with the stammer and the man in the gray trench coat. Two men, both of them trying to kill Eulalia.
And one of them succeeded. Eulalia's murderer has a stammer, that's all we know. We know what he looks like, what his name is, how he ties up with the other men who shot at you. How it all fits in with the roses.
Oh, Peter, what are you doing? You shouldn't touch the desk.
That piece of paper, you see? Sticking out from under the blue book.
Oh, Peter, be careful.
Yeah, here it is. It is, look, it is a letter. Eulalia must have been writing it when the man was standing. Just try to hide it under the book.
Peter, what does it say?
It's so shaky, it's awfully hard to read. Let's see. Dear Lena.
Lena?
Yeah. I had to write to you to warn you. There's mortal danger for both of us. The red rose and the white rose.
Rose and the white rose.
There's more, but I can't think it out.
Lena, she was writing to someone called Lena to warn. Then that means there's as much danger for Lena as there was for Eulalia.
Yeah, I guess so.
And who is Lena? Doesn't it say in there an envelope or something?
No sign of anything. Just Lena, that's all.
Lena and the roses? Oh, Peter, let's get out of here. Let's get away quickly.
But, honey...
We can't call the police for the telephone wire cut. We've got to get out and find a policeman.
Well, that's what I'm worried about now.
What?
Well, if we do get the police, what are we going to tell them?
Why, the truth, of course. Well,
you think they'd believe it?
Well, they'll have to believe
well,
it.
Darling, what story have we got to tell them? A man with red whiskers who was half asleep mumbled something about red roses, white roses, and murder. We found out that he'd mistaken you for Eulalia Crawford, someone that we'd never seen. So we decided to come here and warn her. We were followed by a man in a trench coat who shot at you, tried to kill you, and then threw red roses at you. And what did we do? Did we call the police? No, we kept right on going. Well, we couldn't get Eulalia to answer her buzzer, so we pushed someone else, and Mrs. Dill. She let us in and saw us as we came up the stairs. Now, Eulalia didn't answer our knock, so we calmly walked into her apartment, uninvited, and found her dead. Now, darling, does that sound likely? Do you think the police would believe that?
Well, it does sound kind of...
They'll ask us who the man with the red whiskers was, and we don't know. They'll ask us where they can find them. We don't know. They'll ask us what we mean by the red rose and the white rose. We don't know. And they'll ask us why on earth we came here in the middle of the night. And all we can say is that a man with a stammer told us to come. That it was our wedding anniversary and we felt like a little fun. Our wedding anniversary.
Oh, Peter.
Yeah, and the man with a stammer, how can we prove he existed? Oh, darling, don't you see? If we go to the police, they'll either think we're insane or that we murdered Eulalia. Or both.
Of course, that's why the man with the stammer insisted over the phone that I should come. That's why he left the door open. He deliberately wanted to lure us here into a trap. Well, what should we do?
Find out the truth. Somehow, we've got to find out what the mystery of the roses is. Then we can go to the police with a sensible story.
Well, Sleepy would know. He must know everything. He'd know about Lena, too.
Yeah, if we can find him.
Oh, we must find him. Peter, we were crazy to come here, absolutely crazy. It's all my fault.
Oh, no, honey.
Oh, it is my fault. We were having a lovely time dancing, and then just
now,
because...
There's no time to worry about that, darling. We got to get out of here somehow without being seen.
Mrs. Blair saw us coming up, and she was so mad at us for waking her, she'll probably be waiting for us to come down. Peter, if she found out Eulalia was dead, she'd be sure we did it. Of course she would.
Here, over here. There's a fire escape outside this window. See? It leads down to a little alley. That ought to be all right.
Oh, but Peter, creeping out of windows like criminals, we're acting as if we really were murderers.
If we're found here, we might as well be murderers. Everybody's going to think we are. Come on, quick. I'll get the window open.
Peter, someone to the door. Oh, I knew she could have fished us from the start.
Miss Crawford,
she's got the janitor with her.
Stay absolutely still.
Dancing all by themselves, that a few hours later they would be clambering fearfully down the iron stairs of a fire escape. Wild screams of murder directed at them, and a police whistle shattering the night. They have no time to consider now whether or not they have made a mistake, whether or not they should have stayed to face the music and tell the police what has happened to them, just as it happened. Indeed, neither Peter nor Iris fully realizes, as they hurry down the iron ladder, that each step they take carries them that much further outside the law. And one thing has not even occurred to them. What may be waiting just below. If the pattern of your life, or mine, should take a sudden twist toward danger, if that bolt from the blue came our way, and our individual reactions to it might make all the difference, I wonder... Well, you'll be listening. This is the Mystery Man.
Now, I could tell you lots of exciting things about this new product of Betty Crocker's, her ingredients for real home-cooked vegetable noodle soup. You know, of course, how economical it is. Each 10-cent package makes 6 full servings, twice what you get from an average can of soup. Easy to prepare, too. Betty Crocker gives you these soup ingredients 99% ready to cook. That's right, no vegetables to clean and slice, no noodles to make, no seasonings to mix and blend. They're all in the package. Simply empty the ingredients into boiling water, add butter, then simmer. But listen, I want you to see for yourself how good this soup is. Get a package of Betty Crocker soup ingredients and try it tonight. Have them tomorrow. The door closes on the 186th radio edition of The Mystery Man. Tomorrow, number 187 brings you another chapter in Hugh Patrick's enthralling mystery, Red Roses and White Roses, based on a short novel by Hugh Patrick, appearing in the December issue of American Magazine. The Mystery Man is brought to you by Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. This is Don Hancock speaking. We now invite you to listen to Valiant Lady, which follows immediately after a 10-second pause for station identification.
Another war bulletin from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is from Manila, ladies and gentlemen. NBC's reporter in Manila, Bert Silin, has just announced the bombing of Manila. Salen is reporting to New York that Manila was bombed twice today. The all clear had barely sounded when Japanese planes returned again. The bombing is going on at this very moment in Manila, with dozens of Japanese planes filling the skies over the capital of the Philippines. Fires are raging around dozens of military objectives. Salen says it is uncanny how the Japanese picked out military objectives. We have just been listening to a direct report from Mr. Salen and his cohort, Mr. Don Bell, who is outside of the broadcasting building in Manila, and I will give you just a few comments picked up just as we came on the air this time. Bert Salen stated, as he came on the air about 2:24 direct from Manila, that it was a real story. Manila was being bombed at that very moment. Then he called for Don Bell, one of the operators outside. Don Bell came in and decided that it was either Nichols Field, a very important objective, or McKinley that was being bombed. He was saying also the bombing was very accurate and that all were military objectives. That is all from Manila at this time. Keep tuned to this station.